The only thing that makes me cry is the end of Spider-Man 2 and Doc Ock as being a hero. For some reason, that makes me well up every single time.
You're a robot. Spider-Man
2. I'm not even joking.
Crystal cries when she watches Armageddon. She knows Bruce Willis is going to get blew up.
Bruce Willis died.
Crystal,
you have
Crystal, to the same way. Every time I watch that movie, I fucking cry.
See?
Man. Don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I'm the same. Episode 15 of the Total Control Podcast, brought to you by OpRainfall.com for the week of December 18th. Here we try and satisfy some, if not all, of your niche gaming needs. With me today is...
Josh Spear, Review Manager.
Justin Guillou.
Chris Stallings, YouTube Manager.
Steve Baltimore, Reporting Manager.
I am Azara Lopez, Podcast Manager.
Woohoo!
Officially.
Yeah.
I've proven myself after 15 episodes.
Well deserved.
Now they know I'm not going away. So I got a promotion. They couldn't break me down. So what's up, guys? We haven't touched base on this for a little while, like in the beginning, like we used to. So I just want to go around and see what everyone's playing and what we're up to. Josh, we could start with you, for sure.
I've been playing Dragon's Crown lately.
Nice.
I finally have a Vita.
Well, there's bigger news. Josh got a Vita.
No, it's not bigger than yours. It's big news for me.
No. It was written in the books that told the future, and now everything's coming true.
The prophecy has been foretold. Get a Vita.
The stars have aligned, and I became manager, and you've got an Evita.
Yep.
Just got Senran Kagura, too.
Yeah.
I did get Senran Kagura, too. I got the Let's Get Physical edition. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. Dude, so good to pick that one up, too.
Yeah, I was happy to get it. It's really, really pretty. And I haven't even played it yet, but it's still a nice, nice package.
Yeah. I've been having a lot more respect for art books lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, looking through them, God, man. Like, seeing concept art, to me, it's like things that we weren't really supposed to see, you know? Like, these are just, like, things that video games had to go through. And it's so cool to, like, see that. And you don't Google it or anything. It's in this book. Like, I can't find some of the images that I see in these books on the internet. So, really cool. Right.
Yeah, I eat that stuff up. I love it whenever I get an art book in a game, or after I pre-order or something. It's nice.
So how are you liking Dragon's Crown?
I'm really, really happy with it. I mean, I love all those old-school arcade beat-em-ups, and the graphics are just so, so pretty. And the sound is great so far, so yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm not very far, but I'm enjoying being a dwarf and just beating the crap out of things.
Dwarf.
Yeah. When you do get far enough, we can play online together.
For sure, yeah.
Same on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some good items.
Mm-hmm.
I went around for like a whole day trying to get the strongest items in there. I didn't get like the strongest ones, but I'm pretty buffed out right now.
What difficulty are you at?
I think I'm just on normal, but I want to do that 100 level. So like it's like a tower, and it's like 100 levels or something like that.
Yeah, they added that with a patch.
Yeah, I want to actually try that. I haven't gone back to do it, but I want to play with people because I'm tired of like people dropping out all the time. And
yeah, it's always irritating on any game.
Not to say the NPCs are pretty good. The AI, they're not bad.
Yeah, I just got a knight AI who's helping me out, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. That's a really great game.
Mm-hmm. It is.
If anyone hasn't picked it up, you probably should.
I almost got a Vita a year ago when that game came out, so that's how much I've been waiting for it.
I pre-ordered that game. Did you guys get the art book too?
Yeah, I got one.
Oh yeah, wait. I got one with pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chris, what have you been up to?
I've been playing a lot of stuff for YouTube. I tried to play Magic Knight Rare Earth on the Saturn, but that didn't work out because reasons. So now I'm playing Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Nice.
Oh wow. Yeah.
One rare game with another rare game.
Yeah, basically.
It seems like every Saturn game is rare.
Only the good ones.
It is.
Yeah.
The Saturn really didn't get a lot of love in the U.S., so a lot of the games were limited print run. I was reading up on it that Panzer Dragoon Saga originally didn't even have enough physical copies to fill all of their pre-orders. So they did another 12,000 run, like 2 months later, and then by the end of that summer they did another 12,000 run, so they had like maybe 34,000 copies. So like, that's a, like, I'm sitting here trying to wrap my head around that little of a number. Like, if any game sold that few copies today, it'd be considered a complete flop. Mm-hmm. But this game is like just one of the most highly sought after games for anyone who has a Saturn.
How much did they go for?
Last I saw it, it was somewhere in the 200 to 250 range.
That's crazy.
That's intense.
Is that complete or loose?
Yeah, that's complete.
Complete?
I've seen a couple of just disc-only copies for like 170, but I think those are few and far between.
Hmm. That was kind of like Earthbound before it got on the virtual console. That was nuts, price-wise.
Yeah, I wanted to get a physical copy of Earthbound, and I'm like, physical copy for this much? Digital copy for like $10?
Yeah.
Gonna go digital.
Yeah, I had to make that call too.
that's cool. Yeah. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel. Is it your personal one or for the Outbrainfall one?
For that one's for my personal channel. The Outbrainfall channel. I've just started uploading all of the new Outbrainfall Versus series, where I recorded a bunch of us playing Smash Brothers, and everyone was trying to beat me.
It's a good thing that those mics are on when I was playing you. God.
So much swearing, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
That's why Nintendo doesn't allow those mics to be turned on while racing, too.
I kind of wanted to put all of us on Skype just to record, but I figured the audio of us talking would not be safe for you two.
Yeah. It's tense.
It's a good thing you didn't record me playing any of you, because I would have been swearing a lot. Especially if I died again and again to Shulks. No!
Like, it's like Yoshi against 10 Shulks.
Yeah.
It's Chris and I.
Small army of Shulks.
So, have you still been keeping up with Smash?
Me? Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't played in a couple weeks.
Me and a friend of mine, we've been going through clearing out all the challenges, as many of them as we can. Like, we've got a lot of them done, except for, like, the collect all the songs or collect all the random, like, the random drop ones, we haven't finished a lot of those, so.
Justin, wasn't there something, or Josh, wasn't there something that you wanted to say about the timing or one of the modes in Smash?
Oh, I was just complaining about the 3DS version, about how I haven't gotten the 50 hours of Smash one, and I have 50 hours of gameplay. It's like, I don't think it counts, like, Classic Mode or Smash Run or any of that. Otherwise, I'd have it already, and it's like...
I think it's going to be in Smash Mode.
Yeah,
I think so, too. And I didn't realize that until I got 50-hour mark. I'm like, I don't have that trophy still. Why? So, yeah. My only complaint.
Dude, you have Vita trophies to get now, so...
I know I do. Yeah. As if I didn't have enough problems with Steam trophies I have to look at. Now I have Vita trophies as well. It's a whole new world.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get past level 1 pretty easily. I think, like, maybe, like, 5 bronze gets you past there, so...
Yeah.
I'm almost 15 now.
I'm trying to go for 13. I'm going for the Zelda 2 Platinum, guys.
Oh, God.
But...
Good
luck. We'll get to that later.
Good luck,
we'll get to that
sir.
Later. Justin. What do you have to?
More Suikoden, and also touch my Katamari.
Oh, that's cool.
I refuse to touch your Katamari, Dustin. I keep saying no.
I just figured I'd put it on the table.
Literally. But I'm...
yeah, that's cool. So you've been doing that all on your Vita too, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the cool thing about Vitas, especially if you have bus rides or anything like that. They're perfect for
my commute game.
Yeah, yeah. Play Monster Mon Piece in front of people. They look at you strange.
You guys, I have a funny Monster Mon Piece. I was at my dad's wedding, and I was really bored. So I took out my Vita, and I was playing Monster Mon Piece while everyone was dancing and stuff. And it was really dark in the room, so I'm just on one of the tables playing Mon Piece. And then I'm holding it in my lap, the Vita, right? And just
and, you, up,
and then I turn it sideways to rub it. So now I'm rubbing my Vita, and then I'm rubbing it, and I'm thinking, what am I doing right now?
I almost have this exact same story. I was playing it at work. You know, we have a guy that comes around where I do security work. He roves around, make sure we're on post and awake and, you know, yada yada. Well, when I play Mon Piece, I like, the best way I found to do it is to like, just hold the Vita and put like your fingers on each side of it and rub it back and forth. And I'm sitting there and I'm going to town and it looks just like that I'm, you know, and he rolls up and he looks in the truck and I'm like, oh shit, that can't be good. And I've got the volume up too, and she's going crazy on the screen, so it's awesome. Isn't it?
It's not a bad game.
No,
it's I don't like playing online only because if people are further than you in the game, they have better cards.
Better if they bought a bunch of packs, you know.
Yeah, everybody and they make those. They make those red decks, and they're just super strong. Yeah. But besides balancing like that, the game is. Pretty fun.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's not bad. It's kind of easy, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm excited to see the when the new one comes out, just because they updated all the mechanics to it. So anything I probably have a problem with this one in terms of balancing will probably be fixed. And more girls. Definitely.
Yeah.
Steve, what are you? You know what? I'm scared to ask what you would play.
Let's see. Well, no H games this week, so I'm still playing Tales of Hearts R.
Oh, nice.
And I've been playing Child a lot.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love that. I bought that too. Thanks for telling me about it.
Steve, are you barking at us?
Yes.
It's just you bark.
How are you liking Hearts R?
I love it. It's actually really good, and the further you get in it, the better it gets.
Yeah.
You know, I'm right at that 20-hour mark, and it's really starting to ratchet up pretty good, and it's come along nicely.
I think I'm about 4 or 5 hours in, and yeah, the Vita's powerful, man. It's running one of these such a big game on it, and it looks good.
It looks good. It's definitely not up to what I would call Vita standard graphics. It's kind of got like a PS2 look to it, but every bit of the mechanics of the game are solid, like the story, the combat, you know, and the important stuff.
I think that's what I like most about Tales games, though. It's just that. They're not too worried about the graphics, but they'll nail the mechanics, and they'll nail the story.
The prettiest Vita game that I know of is Killzone.
Yeah, that's a good-looking game.
They actually took the engine from the PS3 game and made it run on the Vita.
So crazy.
And it shows. It's probably the prettiest Vita game you'll find.
Uncharted Golden Abyss is pretty cool.
I think Child of Light looks pretty good on there, too, actually. It's got
How are you liking Child of Light?
I like it. I don't know if I would call it a JRPG. I'm not really sure how they come up with that, to be honest.
People seem it's Canadian, right? It's from Canada.
Don't really know if I would call it that, but it's definitely a really good kind of puzzly platform. You know, it's got I like the turn-based combat.
Yeah.
I picked it up simply because someone told me that it had a combat engine similar to the old Grandia games.
Yeah.
That was, you said Grandia? Sold. That's it. Done.
Yeah, that's a really unique game. I need to get a lot farther in it, though.
Yeah.
I just started it. Like, I played, like, the first two stages so far, and I'm not playing any more of it.
Yeah.
I just want to check it out. It's on sale this week, actually, on PSN. Plus, members can get it for $7.50.
Pretty good. I would get it by now. I've been playing Zelia to you guys. Just to let Josh know.
How's that coming?
I've actually started writing my review before I finish the game, just to...
No, that's probably smart. That's a good idea sometimes.
Yeah, keep up with it. While I was writing the review, I hit this pretty big story changer, and... Oh, man. They know how to drop a bomb on you. That's all I'm saying that much. I probably have about 5 hours left. Okay. I'm gonna hammer that out this weekend and hopefully get a review out before Christmas.
Sounds good.
Yeah. That should be manageable. I've also been playing Kingdom Hearts 2.5. I love that game, guys. I love it. That game is so good. So that's not really playing PS4 games, which is weird. Just PS3. Some news happened today, I believe. The Minecraft is getting a Telltale game. Pretty weird.
Yeah.
Minecraft story mode, I think?
Yeah, Minecraft. On the things that you wouldn't imagine being combined, like you've got peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter and chocolate for Reese's. Minecraft and Telltale. Not what I expected.
Well, I wonder, like 10-year-olds and under who play this game, they really like the building mechanics, but Telltale games are pretty hard to read, because you gotta read those four options in like 10 seconds, and it's not easy sometimes. Like my nephew really likes Borderlands, but I tried to get him to play Tales from the Borderlands, and he doesn't really understand what's going on. But I do. All the best to them. They make good games.
I'm just curious to see how it turns out. This is one of those kind of, you know, game experiments that I'm probably not going to buy, but I just want to see, like, kind of like my feelings toward the original design of the Xbox One, how they originally pitched it of being, like, online only and digital only and that sort of thing. Like, I'm not going to buy it, but I want to see how it turns out, and I have the same feeling about this. It's like, not really a big Minecraft player. I love Telltale games, but I'm just gonna watch and see how this turns out while eating popcorn.
You think it'll be in third person?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You think there'll be voices too?
That's what I was gonna get at. Like, are they gonna give what's the guy's name? Steve?
Yeah.
Steve with a question mark. Are they gonna give him a voice? It's kind of interesting because they don't really have any kind of backstory to go with. Like, this story is literally going to be pulled out of nowhere. So they can kind of just do whatever they want with it.
Yeah.
It'll just be like the Lego movie.
I'm Steve. They can cast me as Southern Minecraft Steve.
That'll be fantastic. Yes.
I'll buy it.
We's going to build some shit, y'all.
10 out of 10 game of the year.
Yeah. Are you guys tired of Telltale games, or... How do you guys feel about them?
I've never played one.
Yeah, I can't get tired because I haven't played one yet. So, although I got two. I got two for my Vita, so I will have played some soon.
Yeah, my first two that I purchased were Tales of the Borderlands and Game of Thrones. I bought those. I haven't played them. I played Tales of the Borderlands for a little bit, but...
Is Game of Thrones out already? I thought it was still coming out.
They actually both came out on the same day.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Yeah. And I haven't touched it, but I'll get around to it. I wanted to jump on the hype of Telltale games right now so that if it does go down, I could say that I experienced the height of it. I mean, I was there.
It's a great TV show, but I don't know how it'll translate to a video game necessarily.
Oh, for Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange to see the characters that you like in this cartoony look. It works well with Borderlands, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
I hear great things about the Walking Dead games they've done. Well, everybody seems
really good.
But I've never watched the Walking Dead show.
How have you not watched that show? Oh, my God.
I'm in the same boat. I've never watched the show. I've read the comics.
It's a great show. If you like the comics...
Never read a comic. Never read a Walking Dead comic, so I don't know if I could pick the game up and actually enjoy it without any kind of context.
The game's unrelated to the comics and the show plot-wise, I think. It's its own story, so...
Yeah, it's same world, same overall, hey, zombies, but not the same characters.
Yeah.
I may have to check it out, because, you know, I didn't know if you could actually pick that up and enjoy it without context.
I think you can, from what I've understood. Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Walking Dead, people that don't watch the show have played that game, and they like it. I think it used to come Paul Vitas, too.
Case in point, Tyler reviewed all the Walking Dead games, and he hasn't seen the show once, so.
Go ahead, Josh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
They had a Walking Dead Vita, I was just saying that Azaria was right, they had one that was bundled.
Yeah. So I feel like that's where a lot of people played it. I never got around to it. There's like Lego games and there's Telltale games, and you would think we would get sick of these games, but they're good. They're stupidly good, and it's crazy. I feel like I was in high school, sophomore year, and I was playing, Lego Star Wars? And I was like, this isn't gonna last, but man, it just keeps going. Yeah, they're still making Lego games, and people are still loving them. Like, good for them.
Yeah, I just picked up a Lego Marvel Super Heroes on the PS3 not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Marvel, and they're cute little adorable Lego people. I gotta play them.
It's so off the wall and like fun and
I think that Nintendo should let Telltale do a Zelda series out of that for the Wii U. I think that would be like
that because
they've got all this source material to work with story wise with Zelda, and it just seems like a no brainer to let them do it. And then it would be something that for the Wii U that would be very exclusive to it.
They should only make the CDI and the animation canon.
Yeah,
that's canon.
Yeah. But with Link Talk,
Nintendo loaned out Zelda to Tecmo Koei for the Hyrule Warriors, and that game turned out fantastic.
True.
So I would get behind a Telltale Zelda in a heartbeat. That sounds kind of badass.
I kind of like that. But I think what would be even more interesting is if they took that engine and then made a Zelda game, like, in the universe, but not have it star Link, but rather someone else in the Zelda universe. So have the story told from their perspective as Link is going on a quest.
That would be kind
of cool. That's even better. That's
like, Ravio. Ravio is the main character.
Or just, like, one of the people from the town that he lives in, you know? Maybe just a townsperson from there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, like, Ocarina of Time, though.
Mm.
And, like, maybe one of those characters and what they're doing while Link is on a quest.
I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
Nintendo, if you're listening, this is your seller right here.
Yeah, we're...
Free money.
We've already set it up for you. Just knock it out.
It's funny when you read about Nintendo news or listen to Nintendo podcasts. They're always trying to help Nintendo make money. Like, I don't get that for any, like, Sony or Xbox. Like, I don't get it. But everyone's always like, Nintendo, just do this. You'll make money.
Well, it's because Nintendo has these great, like, core franchises that everyone knows, but they're historically the only ones who've done anything with it. But it's really hard to name a franchise for Microsoft and Sony that are just as popular. Like, for Microsoft, you got, like, Halo. But it's the same
God of War.
Yeah. So it's mostly just wanting to see all of the Nintendo core franchises that you've known and loved for years that have changed a little bit, just coming out as something completely different. And hopefully not being complete crap where everyone freaks out about it.
What if they did, like, a Smash Bros. Telltale game, though? Then you have tons of characters, and you can just go nuts.
So space necessary.
It would be crazy. If they could make a story out of Minecraft, they could make a story out of Smash Bros.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, Nintendo should do something to get some exclusives from third parties like this. Because if they license out a character, it would only be on the Wii U. And a Telltale game, as popular as it is, people will buy it. And I don't know if it's a system seller, but it will sell.
Absolutely.
I think Wii U sales are up 10% right now anyway, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's probably mostly Smash Brothers, but that's okay. Yeah. Still sales.
Holiday sales.
Yeah Amiibo's like selling right alongside them, too. Like, people are buying up those Amiibos.
I gotta pick up a Wii U for Xenoblade Chronicles for sure.
Oh, you have to, dude.
Yep.
It's gotta happen. You
totally have to.
I picked up a Wii U, and it basically sat on my shelf for a couple of months and did nothing. And then, beginning of this season, I've picked up more games for it than I have any other system at the moment.
My PS4 has pretty much been that way, but next year I've got things like Disgaea 4 is coming for that. Dead or Alive Last Round. I'm a big Dead or Alive fan. I'm gonna want to get that. You know, Neptunia V2 will be coming. Ideal Factory's not gonna pass that up for sure.
Oh no, dude, they're gonna get everything over here. I think Neptunia U was announced today.
Yes,
that's exciting.
Yeah,
so cool. Thanks. I just say ID or ID. Should I be saying something else?
Ideal Factory.
I should just say Ideal Factory. But yeah, I know they're not working with like Nisa anymore, but I don't care. It's not bothering me that what? You know what, Justin? Though that limited edition did bug me.
Yeah.
Because NIS would not have dealt with it that way.
Well, I've got good news. They announced the Rebirth 2 limited edition earlier in the week. They're actually going to open an Ideal Factory store on their website for them.
Thank you.
Nice. So we shouldn't have this problem anymore. That'll probably be a one-shot deal. So the Rebirth 2 limited edition looks pretty cool. It's got a desk calendar in it and a CD and a reversible cover and some goodies.
I like box arts. Like, I like when limited editions go out of their way for box art.
I'm very interested to see what they do for Neptunia U as far as a limited edition. I mean, it's got costume breaks in it, so this could get interesting.
Oh, yeah. Did they license out Neptunia to somebody, or did they just do that in-house?
It's all in-house now.
Oh, wow. So they're just like, let's try this and make a beat-em-up.
Somebody else developed that. They published it. I think the same people that made Senran Kagura
It's like the same game, engine, literally the same thing.
Except it's more Dynasty Warrior style from what I can see of it.
Okay.
It looks like it's got a little bit more Dynasty Warriors flair to it. There's like a mob of people. Tamsoft, I think, is who actually made that.
From the trailer of Neptunian U, at least, I liked the added HP hit points. That's like every hit you saw how much damage you were doing. I really liked that.
I always like that in games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm saying like that's not from Senran. That's like Neptunia, you know. So they know what they're.
It's definitely
they're sticking to the. The core.
Yeah. I think the Noir game looks great. The more I see of it, the more I want to play it. I mean, it's really
cool. Oh, yeah.
It's really cool. I like how all the characters represent a different genre. I think that's really cool. And
And after I seen the trailer this week with the stages, with like the switches and the logs and all the different things that you could do on that strategy board, I'm thinking, wow, this looks like a really good featured strategy game. Now that I've seen more of it, I'm pretty stoked for that, even.
Yeah, Neptunia games, to me, are just so well made, even though they're so off the wall and you wouldn't expect much from them. Josh, have you ever played a Neptunia game?
Not as of yet, but that might change now. Because I had a PlayStation 2, then I didn't have 3 or 4, so I kind of missed the window.
You definitely want to start with Rebirth before you do some perfection.
Okay.
I guess it's good that these Rebirths are coming out so people like Josh can actually have a chance to experience the best version of them. Because, Hyperdimension Neptunia, the first one, was tough.
It's rough.
Especially going for the platinum. Gosh, I don't recommend that to anybody. We'll get to some limited edition stuff in a little bit, but I wanted to take some time to talk about visual novels and how popular they seem to be and how I didn't even know about it.
Really?
I followed like JRPGs and stuff, but I never followed visual novels. I don't know. It's not something that I was like kind of exposed to, but now like reading more about them and seeing people and things being announced localized, like it's looking like we're gonna start getting a lot. And I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, visual novels have kind of been this Japan-only thing. And the only way anybody in the West could get them is if they got a fan translation on the PC. Though I think that, for the West at least, Ace Attorney really helped to bring the series to the mainstream and to get people into it. And I feel like for a lot of people who haven't played visual novels, they kind of just look at them and they just say, oh, this is like a book. Why do I want to read a book? I want to play a video game, not a book. But I feel like for a lot of people, they need that one game to really just bring them in. For me, it was Ace Attorney. And then when I played 999, that's when I really started to get into visual novels and really started to think, wow, these things are actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Danganronpa was it for me. So, like, after that, I got Corpse Party.
Corpse Party's a good one.
I started looking into more of this style of video game. And, but now, things like announced where... Steve, when was this announced? Steins Gate? Was it announced like a day ago or something?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
That's exciting. Everyone it seems is. To be... Pretty is. Stoked on this.
I can't wait to play that on my Vita. I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward to it.
Have any of you guys seen the anime?
No, I haven't.
I've not. And I'm actually going to hold off now that I know the novel's coming. So that way I get, like, to read the novel because I've noticed this with certain things. Like, you know, I watched Clan Ed before I actually read the fan translation years ago. And the novel to Clan Ed and the anime to me are pretty much the same. I love both of them. The novel goes into a lot more details and has a lot more stuff in it, but different things. But I felt bad that I had seen the anime because when I'm reading the novel, I feel like I didn't get as much out of it. Whereas with Little Busters, I actually read the novel first, then watched the anime, and I thought, man, this anime totally underserved this novel. I really hope that Sakai Project, when they get Clan Ed done and what they've got working on, that they pick Little Busters up and actually localize that visual novel, because it is just so much better than that anime.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so much better. I would throw more money at them.
Let's talk about Sakai Project for a little bit, because... they're doing some interesting stuff in terms of crowdfunding. And this is why mostly I brought up this topic, is they put Clannad?
Clannad?
Clannad. I'll say Clannad. I'll listen to Justin.
They
put that on, and a day later, it's mostly funded. And this is all through fans. That's so amazing. Like, that's how badly people want these visual novels. And that's why more, I feel like I should be getting into them. Maybe I'll post some good, games that people should check out, in the article or something, but visual novels.
Our own David is the one that got me hooked on them. He got me started. The Penguin. I blame the Penguin for every bit of money that I've spent. It's the Penguin's fault.
Damn you, Penguin!
Every time. That preenie just, he tore my wallet up with his.
It's amazing how much of blame we can attribute to other members of the staff of, you know, it's their fault that I've spent this much money. Like, didn't we convince Scott to go out and buy,
Smash Bros.
Smash Bros. Yeah, he did it that night. He was drinking a little bit, so maybe that had something to do with it.
I mean,
but speaking of like Kickstarters and stuff, and people talking people into things, I backed my first Kickstarter.
Huzzah!
What did you back?
Finally,
I backed the Sakai Project for their localization of the fruit of Grisaia. I'm gonna say Grisaia.
Grisaia.
I'm really excited. I win big because it was my first one.
No. Tell the truth. Tell the truth why you went big. Tell the truth. You went big for the bed sheet. You went big for the bed sheet. Tell the truth.
Steve actually caught me on Twitter. Someone asked on their anonymous ask or whatever that was posted from their Tumblr, if the bed sheet had sensors on there, and they were like, no, that's just, those sensors are only there for the Kickstarter. Right after I read that, I tweeted at them, I was like, well, I added more to my backing, and you caught me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I win for the bed sheet, and the pillowcase.
See?
So you get to sleep with them all every night.
I just get to live the rest of my life with them.
Zarya's harem.
Yeah.
That better stay on your bed too. So every time you have people over and they see your bed,
I'm totally going to hang the bed sheet on my back wall. All those posters coming down. Skyrim map, get the hell down.
I wonder how much it costs to frame a bed sheet.
I don't know.
Someone should find out. I hope Walmart sells something like that.
I dare you to take that bed sheet into Walmart and be like, can y'all frame this and hold it? Just do it one time.
No, bring it in, fold it up, and like, I need this framed, and just watch their expression changes. They unfold it.
But yeah, that. I'm really excited for that Kickstarter, and they were half funded at one day, fully funded at a day and a half, and now they, if not after the end of this podcast, they will have passed their second stretch goal for $6,000 or $260,000, and it's barely day two. So with that being said, I think her name is Michiru. Mm-hmm. Her idol game is being localized also in physical and digital form. Also, the game will come to Vita and PS3 in digital and physical form. All three games, and that is really exciting. It kind of sucks that Clannad didn't get that, I think. I would have liked a Vita port.
They're almost at the stretch goal for that, to where we can get the side stories that were in the Vita version that's never been put in there before on the PC, which I really hope they hit that, because then that would be like something that I've never seen before.
Yeah, they really made these super long. We have to wait a while.
Well, when you're playing these, people are not realizing when they say three big visual novels, like, I won't speak for the one, but Clannad is at least, if you play it all, it's at least a 40 to 60 hour game.
So in terms of like one of these real visual novels, what interaction do you have with the actual game?
Usually what happens is each girl has their own route, and once you complete each girl's route, there'll be another story route that'll be like the true ending round.
So do you move? Do you have any interaction, or what's...
You pick and choose dialogue, which sets you on each different path.
Okay.
That's how it works. And, it usually works like that, and you can skip the red text when you go back through, because if you couldn't, these games would last forever, because the routes themselves are usually quite large. And,
I'm really excited to try.
Big games.
Because in terms of, like, visual novels, I've played, X-Blaze for the Vita, and... Actually, a new one just got announced for that series, which is a part of the Blaze Blues universe, but just about the characters. And I love Blaze Blues, so...
You understand it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I was going to say, I love the game, but I'm like, when I play the story, I just, huh? What?
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that wrote Kingdom Hearts are going, you called us convoluted. And they said, wow. I don't even think they know where they're going with that.
Well, speaking of fighting games, Guilty Gear came out this week.
Yes.
PS4.
And apparently it's really good from the reviews I'm seeing.
I need to definitely get that. Super excited. I need to also pick up Love Max.
It's really good. I don't know if Axis has patched the Vita version yet. It had issues. I've not seen a patch yet. You can't finish it with certain characters.
I
that would be
decided.
Something that needed to be patched, yes.
Yes. Now, the PS3 version was fine.
I decided to get good with anime fighters more than Street Fighter, because my friends aren't good at them, just so I could stand a chance.
You should definitely pick up Aquapaza.
Oh, I have that.
I reviewed that. I really enjoyed it. It was really good. Great online, too. But like my story about playing testers of a game a few podcasts back, don't ever do that. They will...
They know all the combos.
I got destroyed. Oh.
So, Josh, have you played any visual novels?
I have played the 999 and the Virtue's Last Reward and a couple of Phoenix Wrights and Leighton games, but besides that, not a ton.
Best ones.
Yeah, I got into the 99, I'm like, okay, this is actually a really cool medium, so then I looked into others.
No joke, one of the best written stories in a video game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, what made you pick up that game, Justin?
Actually, like, this is kind of funny. I was following it during the development, when it was still going on in Japan, and then I was just thinking, oh, this is just going to be another visual novel game that the U.S. is never going to get. And then Axis announces, oh, okay, we're releasing this in the U.S. I remember thinking to myself, nobody knows about this game. I'm literally the only person who knows it. I'm not going to pre-order it. I'll just get it whenever, when it gets discounted. But turns out, when it came out, pretty much every major gaming website gave it really great scores. It was getting almost perfect scores all across the board, to the point where other people just said, oh, man, I need to buy this game. So it sold out for a long time, and it got incredibly expensive. And then eventually Axis put out a second print run, which is when I got my copy. And I got it, and I played it, and it was incredible. It actually is one of the very few games that almost made me throw my console across the room, because I got the sub-ending.
Oh, God.
I'm not
going to
say what that is, but that was the very first ending I got. I didn't use a guide.
Yeah, that was a depressing ending.
Aw.
And creepy as hell. Sorry.
Yeah. It's insane, but yeah.
Chris, have you experienced visual novels?
I've not played any myself. I have a friend who also did Let's Plays on YouTube, and he did the Suikoden Gaiden, the visual novel spinoffs of Suikoden. He did. He did one of those, and it was a lot of. It was really interesting to watch because it's all in Japanese, and he's one of those guys that did the translated games that hadn't gotten translated patches yet, but they were in the process of doing it, like Dragon Force 2. So I was playing Dragon Force 1 while he was playing Dragon Force 2. He's like, hey, come check out my channel. And I started watching his Suikoden, and I'm like, you know, I like the Suikoden games. I have no idea what, you know, this visual novel stuff is. I'm going to just watch it because he made it fairly entertaining. So, but I've never actually played one myself.
That patch is actually completed now.
The Dragon Force 2?
No, the Suikoden novel.
Oh, the Suikoden? Oh.
It's actually completed.
I've not been keeping up with the fan translations as much as I should.
I've not imported this yet, but they have a full translation patch to the Toradora visual novel for the PSP. So I'm going to import one of those and put this patch on it, because apparently the story in that is completely a little different than the actual anime. So I'm kind of interested to see what it is.
Did they ever translate the Madoka visual novel?
No, I don't think so. I wish they would have localized that Vita game. It looks badass.
Yeah.
I wish they'd localize it. It's so text-heavy, though, right?
Well, I'm kind of surprised nobody picked it up. I mean, you know, they picked up the Attack on Titan game for the DS. I don't know why nobody didn't pick it up.
Madoka's popular. I mean,
it's actually pretty popular.
Yeah.
I would say Madoka's ever been as popular here as Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
Is Attack on Titan coming west?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Atlas is doing it. Pretty sure.
Oh, Atlas is doing it. Oh,
they
cool.
are doing it, ain't they? Am I right on that?
I think you are, yeah.
I think so, yeah. I know somebody got pretty sure it was Atlas.
Let me double check. Let's see.
It's a little dated now, but it's going to sell like crazy. People that eat that game up.
Atlas has been picking up a lot of those little off-the-wall games, like Tears of Tiara 2. And I've not picked that up yet, but I'm going to pick that up because that's on my list of stuff to get. Because I want to play that. I love that super deformed art style that it's got. And it's on my list, but I've not picked it up yet.
Yeah, it's amazing the things that Atlas is picking up, and yet Sega is just completely ignoring. Sega owns Atlas. I'm going to sit here and facepalm.
Well, let's just thank God that the Atlas is still Atlas.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing that I was worried about was
I know.
When the news that Sega bought them, they're like, well, Atlas is screwed, and then, you know, the Sega manager comes out and is like, no, we're letting Atlas do whatever they want. In fact, they can play with our old IPs if they want. And I'm just sitting here going, did I die? Am I?
Yeah.
Am I dead? I'm dead. This is...
I'm going to make another bold prediction. I think this Phantasy Star Nova will get localized.
Oh.
I think it will.
I doubt. I really doubt.
I'll take you up on that bet.
I'm going to tell you why I think it'll get localized. Because it's not online.
Steve,
it's more of a single player thing.
Let's do this. Well, whoever wins I'm going to say that game's never coming over. We'll give it, what should we give it to? Let's make an on the podcast bet.
Place your bets.
Yeah. Mm. We'll do it for PlayStation Classic on PSN.
Right. So loser buys the winner a PlayStation Classic. Is that?
Yeah.
PlayStation $10. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. You have witnesses.
I think that at some point in 2015 it will get localized.
Okay. 2015. Good.
Or it will at least be announced. It will be announced.
Okay.
I won't say that it'll be completed. But
let's do that. Let's do that. Our witnesses, Phantasy
Star Nova announcement headed west sometime in 2015.
I think where it's single player, I think it's got a better chance.
Okay.
Now, see, my take on it is I don't think Sega's going to do it, but I think Atlas might do it.
Well, that's my reasoning behind why I think it'll be done.
Okay.
This is my take on it. I think it is going to get translated, but released in China.
like
Phantasy Star Online 2.
and the Monster Montes sequel. Notice IFI has not announced that for us, and I seriously doubt that it comes here because they would have to censor it here.
Well, isn't that spiritual successor one coming out here?
No, it's announced for Asia, not here.
Oh, what? I thought it was.
No, announced for Asia. But our Vitas are region free, and PlayAsia will carry it, so we won't have any issue with it.
Yeah.
Except for with the DLC. That could be a problem.
Yeah, and in terms of Monster Month piece, it's all numbers and stuff. You can probably figure it out without...
Well, it's going to be in English. It'll probably be in English, though, like, you know, Sword Art Online was, but...
Those are so
funny. Wait, what are you laughing at, Justin?
The Sword Art Online translation.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of English.
It's English.
It can't be any worse than Zero Wing. That's...
This is true. Somebody set us up the bomb.
All your bases belong to us. Main screen turn on.
So yeah, definitely visual novels are getting a lot of attention. And I'm stoked. Moving on, I think Steve would like this, or know a lot about this. NIS America is getting a lot of limited editions.
Yeah, well, they announced the... Let's see here. Let me go to the website. This guy, 5, is going to be here next fall, was one of the things they announced this week. And
that's cool.
I'm pretty stoked about that. They also announced Operation Abyss New Tokyo Legacy. And that looks pretty cool. That's a pretty cool dungeon crawler. Justin, that's the one you were pretty interested in, wasn't it?
No, I was interested in another one called Tokyo Ghost Patrol.
Oh, okay. But anyway, this one here, it's got a great look to it. I love the art style and the few screenshots they had in the press release. And it's looking pretty cool. And it's a cyberpunk dungeon crawler, which is kind of interesting. I'm kind of interested to see how that turns out. I'm looking at some of the key features here. It says it's got class and personality traits. Going to be a 40-hour dungeon crawler with traps, secret doors, and stuff of that nature. And like I said, in the two screens they had in the press release, the art looks gorgeous. So that's pretty cool. And they went wild with the limited editions for the Awakened Fate Ultium, which is the sequel, I think, to Gilded Fate Paradox.
Yeah.
There's like three different ones. There's a devilish, angelic, and then an Ultium one. And they all
contain...
Which
one did you pre-order?
I haven't pre-ordered any of them yet.
I got the Ultium.
And for $40, I'm kind of tempted to get all three.
I mean, they got some cool stuff. That art book looks pretty cool. It's got these cool-looking cards with it. I mean, you know...
The Ultium definitely comes with
a double-sided coin.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing that the Ultium has different than the step below. Yeah, is that coin.
I don't think it has the coin. The other two doesn't, but it's really cool. I mean, you know, and you know, his is really cranking them out first part in the next year. So lots of goodies to look forward to.
Yeah, They have a lot on their pre-order site now in terms of limited editions that people should check out. Because unlike Square, they price their limited editions fairly cheap.
Yeah.
Top Zero's $100.
Yeah, they know that they're selling PS3 games, and they're not going to charge you $120 for a PS3 game.
A PSP game.
Square Enix will charge you as much as they want.
But you know, I give Square a lot of crap, but I'm going to say one thing about Square, especially because what was it that got a new HD edition? Oh, The Devil May Cry, the two Devil May Cries is going next gen or this gen.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about HD collections and how, you know, they're horrible. And I took up for Square. I said, I think the Kingdom Hearts collections were the best idea that they ever had. Because they took games from all the different systems and put them all in one place.
Yep.
That way, anybody that wanted to get into that series could buy those two, the 1.5 and the 2.5, and you'll be caught up. Basically. Aside from 3D, which I heard had like 10 minutes of story in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I
I'm just kind of disappointed that no one else besides, you know, a couple of publishers are doing special editions. Like, you can always expect a special edition from NIS. You can occasionally expect one from XSEED, depending on the title. Atlas, occasionally, depending on the franchise, like the Persona Q special edition release. But, like, you very rarely see anyone else do anything special edition, except for, like, the AAA shooter market. There's always some sort of, like, big box Call of Duty or Halo or whatnot, but...
We're gonna give you a radio control car with it and all the DLC. Now give us $500.
You get a real gun.
I'm gonna say the night vision goggles that they did for one, that was actually kind of awesome because those were Gen 1, cool. Like, military grade night vision goggles. Like,
wow. Until people started using them to spy on their neighbors.
But that's the thing, they're Gen 1, they're not great. Like, I could order a Gen 3 online, but...
Steve, I live in the 2D world, remember? I see this 3D peep stuff.
I'll put the goggles on and, like, sneak into to someone's room all Splinter Cell-like.
I remember Justin had brought this up, guys, but since this would be probably our last podcast for the year, Christmas is next week, and Justin had an idea that we could talk about real quick. Justin, it was about video games and Christmases.
I was thinking, do you guys have any fun stories of you getting a video game as a gift for Christmas, or you giving someone a video game as a gift for Christmas? Like, anything that has to do with that?
Oh, I've got a great one. Back in the day, this will tell how much of a niche gamer I was even as a young lad. Back when, you know, the NES was really popular, I wanted Tombs and Treasures for the NES, and I'm surprised that I'm not getting all these blank looks from you guys, but I really loved that game. It was like one of my favorite, and you couldn't find it anywhere, and I didn't think I was going to get it, and my dad actually drove all the way to Knoxville to get me a copy of that game from a Toys R Us, and I opened it up on Christmas, and I was like, wow, that's just awesome, because that was, you know, exactly what I wanted. And another Christmas, I wanted I had a TurboGrafx-16 and I wanted the CD add-on. When I wanted it for Cosmic Fantasy 2. I've always been this niche, I'm sorry, it's just how it works. Everybody else has Sega CD.
I'm kind of surprised there's someone else who had a TurboGrafx.
I know, you know. And you know what, I loved it. I actually liked a lot of stuff. I like Silent Debuggers.
Yeah.
I like Silent Debuggers and Bloody Wolf, you know. And there was a lot of stuff on there and Double Dungeons. I love Double Dungeons. Love Double Dungeons. Played JJ and Jeff, didn't know what the hell was going on in that when I was kid. Still don't know to this day. But, you know, and they actually had to go to two different places, one to get the game and one to get the system. And I got that on for a Christmas once, and that was really cool.
I always got most of my major consoles on Christmas. Like, I got my Genesis for Christmas, which was my first console. Like, I have an older brother, so we had to share an Atari 7800 growing up, and then he got a TurboGrafx, and it was like, I'll let you play occasionally, but one year I got a Genesis bundled with Sonic 1. That was mine. So that was my first real console, and then I got a Sega Saturn for Christmas several years later, because I had a friend who already had a PlayStation, and then another friend who was getting an N64 for Christmas as well. So that way, all three of us, we could play all the games and not, you know, exclude a console. Just borrow each other's consoles. And then I got a Dreamcast for Christmas a couple years after that. So basically, a lot of my major console purchases have been Christmas gifts.
I want to jump in here with a story from my cousin. One of my cousins at Christmas, because I'm going to tell you how dumb this boy was. When the Super Nintendo came out, we all got Super Nintendos for Christmas. Like, all of us. Like, that was what our dads bought us, you know, me and my cousins. They all got us. And they left him a hint on his. It said, have a Super Christmas with Nintendo, and he did not know what was in the box till he opened it.
Sad.
So, he was kind of retarded. I don't know what else to say. I have no idea.
What about you, Josh?
I can't. I'm bad on the spot. I'm sorry. Nothing springs to mind. I'll let other people go, though.
Okay. Well, I'll take you guys back to 2001.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 2000, but I got the gift after New Year's, Christmas. The year 2000 had a release of Final Fantasy IX.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot, it was like in the summer though. Mm-hmm. I think it was in the summer of 2000. And, so I really wanted it for Christmas. And I was telling my dad, like, give me this game. I want to play Final Fantasy IX. Christmas came and I didn't get it, and I was super bummed. So, you know, like a week goes by, and he's like, oh, your cousin came by and dropped this off, and it was a wrapped gift. And I was like, what? Like, it was like one of those cousins that you don't really talk to. Mm. Like, just a faraway family. And I opened it up, and it was freaking Final Fantasy IX. And I freaked out, and I was like, asking my dad, I was like, are you lying to me? Did you buy this? And he's like, no, she got it for you. And I guess they just saw that there was like 3 discs in there, so they thought it was a good deal. Like, 3 discs for $30, you know? Like, why not? But that was probably one of my best Christmases.
Aww.
Yeah. Best cousin ever.
Yeah. And I, oh man, that game was so good too.
VB.
HD at Square Enix. HD it.
Yeah.
HD, well, all of us.
Don't worry, Azario, they will.
Yeah.
No.
They'll
just
do 7 last.
Yeah.
No. They're just going to port them to the PS4.
They'll just go out of order.
Yeah, you're probably right, Steve, yeah.
Anything that's on Steam will be on the PS4 before it's
in. As long as they have trophies.
Yeah. They probably will.
You would actually trophy whore 8? Seriously?
I am going to trophy whore 7 when it comes out.
No, I asked you if you would trophy whore 8. I want to know.
It depends, because I sucked at that card game. So,
oh my God.
Like, I thought I was cool.
I called
myself the Chocobo Master, but Chocobos aren't that strong, but I just had a deck of Chocobos because I thought it was funny.
They had all the Final Fantasies on sale 1 week on PSN. I thought, well, I'm going to buy them all digital for the Vita. And I come to 8, and at $5, I was like, huh. I ended up buying it just, you know, to have all of them, but I'm thinking, you've just bought something that you will never actually install in this Vita and play.
Yeah, I bought Chrono Cross, and I have not touched it, but I was thinking, man, I just really want Chrono Cross. Chrono Cross on this dashboard every time I come to my PS3.
It's the whole drawing magic, and it's just so tedious.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy.
That and Squall.
It's so anti-intuitive. It's like, oh, you have to draw magic to use magic. That makes magic not worth using because you have to spend so much time. No. No.
Right, because if you use it, your stats go down, so you don't want to use your magic after you drew all of it.
Yep.
So, you know.
That and Squall is a douche. Sorry.
Squall, yeah. However, if you guys have never heard of the Squall is Dead theory, read up on that. A friend of mine pointed it out to me. I thought it was a joke. It is a fan theory about Final Fantasy VIII, and Squall dies in it, and how, like, the second half of the game has a completely different tone and shift in design.
Right. Just, you know, that does make sense now that you say that.
Oh, like,
yeah, the whole, like, the guy breaks it down, like, bit by bit. It made the game tolerable for me. Like,
I
read it beforehand,
that.
And then I'm reading this, I'm like, shit, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Can I just pretend that this is real?
Yeah.
All I know is that I cried on that Ragnarok scene. Oh, man. That stuff was beautiful. She sits in his lap, guys! She sits in his lap! Oh.
Sorry.
Boy.
Don't ever play.
I'm not gonna lie. I got a little teary eyed at points during 9 because 9 just has a lot of those like just kick to the balls type. I don't exist. I don't have a soul. Like existential moments. And playing it as a teenager, like, damn it.
Well, you know, it's like a lot of people don't realize it at the end of it, but Vivi's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead.
He's dead. Died. He doesn't have a soul. Like, he's just, yeah, he's a dog.
He's gone. Yeah. Because he's not in the insane.
That's true.
He's dead.
You guys.
But he's in theater rhythm and he hops every time he casts a spell, which is why I love him. Every single time.
And he got kind of a badass redesign for Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, he looked.
Yes. Like, he looked great.
Vicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super good. I didn't like his voice.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the, it's one of those, you really shouldn't have given him a voice. He should have just stayed, you know, silent, black mage. Like, yeah. Occasional grunts, maybe, but.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, guys. We got some crowdfunding that we wanted to plug. Justin, did you have those?
I have one that looked kind of interesting. It's called Aviary Attorney, which is kind of like Hatoful Boyfriend meets Ace Attorney.
So pigeons in a courtroom?
Pretty much.
I'm big.
It's just a bunch of birds. And
this shit is for the birds.
You get
this game sounds amazing.
You get to play the role of bird brain lawyer, Monsieur Falcon. Take on clients.
Collect, and
deliver justice to the guilty.
All I can think of is Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Exactly. That was exactly. Thank you, Chris. It's the only thing I can
think of. Honestly, great show, but just this is.
Didn't they make a Harvey Birdman game?
They did.
Yeah, it came out on Wii and PS2 for sure. Like, a friend of mine has the Wii version. I kind of want to play it.
God, what are they asking for, Justin?
Right now, they are asking for, this is actually in the UK, they have a 7,000 pound goal, and they are currently at 6,494. There are 20 days left to go, and there are 537 backers. You can get a digital copy of the game if you pledge 7 pounds or more. And let's see one of the crazier rewards. Ah, they're actually there this time. It's not like last time. Pledge 500 pounds more. And you can help them design a character.
Mm.
And name them. And shape the personality.
Dude, I think they got the best name, Monsieur Falcon.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'd have to name him Petey.
I would name Harvey. And just be like...
No.
That's cool. Yeah, we'll definitely plug that. Is it PC?
This is indeed PC.
Okay, cool. Well, good luck to those guys.
Justin, you have a Kickstarter you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, let me bring it up. I have one I just backed the other day. I got funded today, but I still find to tell people about it for the Slacker Backer campaign. It's called Hollow Knight. And it's an Australian team called Team Cherry. And it's a Metroidvania, but it looks like Metroidvania had a baby with Nightmare Before Christmas. It looks really, really cool. And it's going to be coming to Wii U as well as PC and I think one more. But yeah, PC and Wii U. And it hit like 3 of its stretch goals. And it looks really, really cool. We should put that in the notes, because I showed you, Steve. The art is just amazing in that game, and the music
looks really cool. I love the soundtrack they did for that. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a fan of platformers and stuff like that, but I thought it looked pretty cool.
But you like Metroidvania, usually.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah. I do like
it. There's an enemy in Destiny called Hollow Knight, so when you said that, I imagined that Hollow Knight in his story, and then him going home to his family, and like, they're like, oh, those rangers didn't kill me today, so.
Well, I'm not clear if the main character in this game is like a wraith or something, or if he's undead, because there's something about an infection and these giant bug creatures, and it's very vague, but it's cool.
It's Destiny side story.
Or that.
Yeah. It's all fan fiction.
Yeah, but yeah.
So that's cool. I know you love the Wii U.
Well, you know, I have Steam Gaming, I do a lot of that now, but I want more games like this on the Wii. I was happy when you hit that stretch goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Good for them. Good for everybody.
Yep.
All of mankind. Thanks for the year, guys. It's been a long one. Really, I just want to close out the show with some fun news. This guy named Marcus, his nickname is Notch. He used to own Minecraft, now he doesn't. But he outbid, Queen Beyonce, the Queen Bee, and Jay-Z on a house. And he's just chilling in it, guys. He's taking pics chilling in it. This is cool. This is cool. He has so much freaking money. Oh my god.
He's just Scrooge McDuck, Azario, I'm telling you. That's who he is now.
Yeah.
His money man
and
would
he
have
wears a similar hat to Scrooge McDuck.
Does he? Oh, now I'm intrigued.
He became friends with some of the developers for TF2, Team Fortress 2. Mm-hmm. And Team Fortress 2 is all about hats now. It's not really a first-person shooter, it's all about hats. They made a custom hat for him, which was a box of his head, and he's the only person who has this hat, so whenever he played TF2, he would go around wearing his Minecraft box hat of himself, and that's how you knew you were playing with the real Notch, as opposed to someone who's just named Notch. So, yeah, I think when you have your own hat in a game that looks like you, that's where you know you've made the big time. Not outbidding Beyonce on a house, but when you have a hat.
It's a really nice place, too.
How much was the bid, or was that disclosed?
Yeah, 70 million.
Woo! That's a number that I really can't fathom.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Not in my life.
He has $1 billion in his wallet, so...
Yeah, that's nuts. I guess sometimes video games do sell. I mean, they do pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It confuses me. Like, why don't more people do this type of... Like, Microsoft makes a game and just sells the IP for a bunch of money. It seems like, they bought it for $2.5 billion?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Dude, that's more money than they probably make on... No, they make a lot of money on Halo, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe
they,
not.
They make enough money on all their other franchises. Like, we want to just own this, too, so... And it'll bring in money, because they're still going to continue selling copies of the game, so...
Just like Square.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Notch. You made it. Made it to the big time. I don't know. Now you can retire.
I'm pretty sure he already retired. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm stepping out from this. Like, I'm done.
I mean...
And who could blame him? I mean, he made a game that sold a comical number of copies at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's insane. But I bought the beta years ago and never thought that it would become this.
Same here. I bought it way like back then, and it was just like, yeah, this is fun, but I don't see it being this giant thing that it's become today.
Never played it. Never bought it. I'm the odd man out.
The only Minecraft thing I ever played is there's a Minecraft stage in Dragon Fantasy. That Star's Notch.
Well, now you can play Telltale's Minecraft and experience it through another point of view.
I think there's a Minecraft stage in Armillo, come to think of it. I've never played Minecraft, but it looked like that style.
Have you played Terraria?
Not yet, but I do own it, so I just haven't gotten around to playing
cute.
It. I know.
Is that a Vita game?
It's not. I got it on a Steam sale, though, so I was like, okay. Yeah, I can't put this down for like $3. It looks cool.
It is definitely. On the PS4,
yeah,
though,
isn't
it?
Too.
Yeah, I think it is, but I'm on the PS4, so... Yeah.
I picked it up on Steam with a couple of friends, and we ended up playing it till like 5 in the morning that day.
Wow.
Like, they picked up a 4-pack. Mm. It was one of those, it's like, oh, this is just, you know, good old nostalgic fun. I have to keep digging. I gotta get more minerals. Like, that was...
Yeah.
It just became an obsession.
Well, guys,
I got one more thing before we close out.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Sorry.
I just wanted to mention the Dementium, which is a DS first-person shooter by Renegade Kid, which I was one of the few people who probably got it, is coming as a port to the 3DS. And they're saying that with the 3D on, it's going to run 60 frames per second. And it's going to look really, really, really nice, apparently. But they don't know when. It's going to be 2015 sometime. We have an article about it, so.
Okay, yeah. We'll plug that in, definitely. 3DS is a beast. 60 frames per second.
Yeah, it's impressive. They can get that out of it.
Commute.
Good job. Good job, 3DS.
Woohoo!
Happy holidays, 3DS.
No, it's woohoo! Sorry.
God.
But yeah, so I guess we'll close out the show, and if we record before the New Year's, then we'll be back, but if we don't, have happy holiday stuff. If you don't celebrate that, then have happy days.
Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
There you go.
There you go.
Happy non-denominational winter holiday.
Or that.
Or that.
Just party every day.
All day, every day.
Yeah. Play video games, hang out. Use this vacation from school, if you're in school, to beat a game that you've been trying to, like me playing Zelda 2. But yeah, so Twitter handles. I am at Azario Says.
I'm at Spear of Destiny.
At Marauder EX.
I'm at Just Giyu.
And I'm at Steve Baldwin.
Alright guys, this has been episode 15 of the Total Control Podcast, and we ask you to continue to read articles on the site, because without them, we wouldn't be a podcast. Thank you for listening. Bye. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Hey there.
Happy New Year.
Steve, you never say bye.
I know.
I'm out.
You know what we're waiting for.
Oh. Y'all come back now, you hear?